now available $20 billion in oil spill compensation. So why all the grumbling?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. That $20 billion compensation fund for victims of the big Gulf oil spill opens for business today. 35 offices across the Gulf states will begin to accept claims from people and businesses that lost money due to the disaster. The man in charge of the payouts is promising fairness and more generous treatment than claimants might get by suing BP for damages. But already some victims and officials along the Gulf Coast are crying foul. Marketplace's Amy Scott has the latest.
Critics are worried some rules favor BP. Anyone who files a claim in the next 6 months could still sue the company, but after that, they give up that right. In a conference call with reporters yesterday, the head of the fund, Kenneth Feinberg, said it was his idea because it gets money into people's hands faster.
It is not in your interest to tie up you and the courts in years of uncertain, protracted litigation when there is an alternative.
You may remember Feinberg as the so-called pay czar, appointed to oversee executive compensation at bailed-out banks. He also ran the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, where he placed similar restrictions on the money. Still, victims may be able to sue other companies involved in the spill after the six-month mark. They include the owner of the rig and several contractors. Hundreds of lawsuits have already been filed related to the spill. BP has paid out $375 million in compensation, separate from the fund that opens today. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
It's been a month now since President Obama signed the financial regulatory reform that created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That agency will be a part of the Federal Reserve. The administration has yet to nominate a director. One of the leading candidates for the job is Elizabeth Warren. But since she hasn't gotten it yet, some advocates see sexism at play. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has more from Washington.
Some of Warren's supporters, like Terry O'Neill, the president of the National Organization for Women, say the White House is reluctant to nominate her because of her gender.
I think that it's a combination of Elizabeth Warren's attitude and her anatomy that is encouraging the good old boys to try to block her.
In particular, O'Neill faults Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner for joining Wall Street's testosterone-based opposition to Warren. A Treasury spokesman says the charge is untrue and points to Geithner's praise for Warren's record as a consumer advocate. Geithner says it's up to the president to pick the nominee. As for Wall Street, historian John Steele Gordon says while it may be male-dominated, banks have many reasons other than gender to oppose Warren as a regulator.
Wall Street would much prefer a free market woman to a government-dominated male. It's their philosophy they care about, not their gender.
Warren supporters say they're gradually turning the White House in favor of her nomination to the Consumer Bureau. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Can Wall Street reverse two straight losing weeks? Let's do the numbers and see where things are pointing this hour. Asian shares picked up where U.S. markets left off on Friday, although picked up probably isn't the best phrase to use here. Shares in Asia were lackluster at best today. Tokyo's Nikkei shed nearly 0.75%. Stocks on the major European exchanges have turned higher. Shares in Britain, France, and Germany are between 0.33% to 0.5% higher. Wall Street will be trying to dig out from under a disappointing stretch that's lasted much of August. The Dow came to rest at 10,213 on Friday. No big financial reports are due today, which won't really give investors much reason to buy or not buy. Some analysts, though, are pointing to recent merger and acquisition activity as a possible lift for the markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
Maybe you've noticed more solar panels are going up on rooftops in neighborhoods across America. Not to short-circuit, a good idea, but there are growing concerns about the safety of those panels. That's why Underwriters Laboratories, the group that certifies the safety of many products, has designed a new training program for electricians who install solar panels. From North Carolina Public Radio, Leonida Inge reports.
Historically, UL, or Underwriters Laboratories, has certified products. Now it's certifying people. Brad Smock is in charge of training these electricians in the technology of a solar panel, also known as a photovoltaic system, PV for short.
So when you walk out of a classroom here, you'll actually be able to go install a PV panel and a PV system, tie it into the grid, and start producing power at a residence or on a commercial site.
And as with any electrical system, there's always the risk of fire.
April 5th, 2009, the roof of a Target store exploded and caught fire.
That's Pete Jackson, chief electrical inspector for the city of Bakersfield, California, where the fire occurred.
It originated with the photovoltaic system that had been installed on the roof.
No one was seriously hurt, but Jackson says it could have been a lot worse.
What we realized and what the firefighters realized was they couldn't shut off the supply of electricity because the sun was out and electricity was produced, and it's major amounts.
Jackson and other electrical inspectors from around the country met at UL to help put the finishing touches on installation standards for the incoming class. And if there's one thing everybody agrees on, there has to be industry standards. Steve Callen heads the Solar Center at North Carolina State University.
There isn't a lot of agreement nationally on what that should look like. In fact, there are lots and lots of programs, as the focus on energy has increased in the U.S., lots and lots of programs that have kind of sprung up out of thin air.
Callen says the new training program will add credibility to the solar panel industry and to the renewable energy movement as well. UL is expecting to train more than 1,000 technicians and electricians in its first year. I'm Leonida Inge for Marketplace.
And finally this morning, a question of priorities. Who are you committed to, more committed to, your spouse or your banker? A survey released over the weekend shows British people tend toward the latter. The UK bank Santander has found that the average customer reports staying loyal to their current bank for around 16 years, while their longest relationship averages around 14 years. I'll let you do the numbers and draw your own conclusions. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.